You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, there we go. I don't know what happened to my mic port there. Thank you, Nicole. Nicole is our producer and board op tonight. She's done a fantastic job. I don't know what happened right there. One of my mic ports just, decided not to work during the break. Anyway, busy show tonight. Richard Spencer in the first hour. Brad Griffin in the second hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller for the first two, along with yours truly, James Edwards. Keith Alexander now with us. As you know, and as we made mention of at the top of the show, and at least one time since then, we had a shift change tonight. We flipped the normal lineup rather than having Keith in for the first half and then Eddie in for the second half. We had Eddie in for the first half tonight and then Keith in for the second. Keith had a scheduling conflict tonight, so we roll with the punches. How are you, buddy Keith?
I'm doing great, my friend. Listening to you on the radio.
Sad you're not in the studio with us, but we're I'm sad you're not listening. What am I saying? I'm sad you're not in the studio with us tonight, but I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad we got you on the phone. Hey, a couple of things I want to cover with you, and then I know there's a couple of things you probably want to cover with the audience. But first, you know, we had what I thought was a pretty good hour last week during the first hour of last week's live broadcast in which you and I paid our respects and saluted Christopher Columbus. Pat Buchanan did the same this week. And here's what he had to write in a very recent column. In the culture war, Trump has rejected compromise or capitulation and decided to defend the ground on which his most loyal folks stand. While the Washington Post was reporting Monday that Austin, Seattle, San Francisco, and Denver had now joined Los Angeles in replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day, Trump issued a Columbus Day proclamation of bristling defiance. And honestly, folks, it truly was. Listen to what Donald Trump had to say with regard to his Columbus Day proclamation. And I quote, 525 years ago, Christopher Columbus completed an ambitious and daring voyage across the Atlantic Ocean to the Americas, a remarkable and then unparalleled feat that helped launch the age of exploration and discovery. The permanent arrival, Keith, that's exactly how you put it last week, the permanent arrival of Europeans to the Americas was a transformative event that changed the course of human history and set the stage for the development of our great nation. Columbus, said Trump, was a skilled navigator and man of faith whose courageous feat brought together continents, and it has inspired countless others to pursue their dreams and convictions, even in the face of extreme doubt and tremendous adversity. The Admiral of the Ocean Sea was a native of the city of Genoa in present-day Italy and represents the rich history of important Italian-American contributions to our great nation. Italy is a strong ally and valued partner. His proclamation failed to mention indigenous peoples whatsoever. Keith, that's a proclamation that you and I would have been hard-pressed to write any better.
Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, Buchanan may have read our article because, you know, it's been around in a slightly different form for, what, at least 5 years now, I guess, right?
That's right. Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think that we have to understand Columbus as the first white person in the Western Hemisphere, which caused the Western Hemisphere, the arrival of white people, to bloom into the garden spot of the world. It's the place where people want to come, particularly the English-speaking former colonies in the Western Hemisphere are the most desirable destinations in the entire world. And, you know, it's incredible that we're on one hand the most desirable destination in the world, but on the other hand, the only country and place where we have to constantly apologize to people that aren't as talented for our success.
Well, Keith, I couldn't have put it better. And as Buchanan cites in his article, Americans have come or are coming to accept our new reality on the essentials of nationhood, on the essentials. And this is what we say so often: ancestry, morality, faith, culture, history, heroes. We are no longer one nation and one people. And I know we covered Columbus Day at length for a full hour last week, which was on the eve of Columbus Day. So we're not going to cover it any longer than this one segment tonight. But I thought Buchanan put a good capstone on the situation by citing Donald Trump's Columbus Day proclamation, which we got to give the president credit for. Nobody else running for president in 2016 would have issued that proclamation, certainly not in that language. But Buchanan's right. We saw all of these hysterical shrieking. No, they're not thankful for the life they have in America. They hate the life they have in America. They hate living in a first world country, and God forbid Columbus for helping make it possible.
If they like it, they don't need to let the door hit them in the posterior when they leave. But I don't see any takers on that.
Well, that's right. We saw all the people condemning Columbus, but none of them want to leave the nation that really, in a way, spawned as a result of his great discovery.
If he was such an oppressor and caused such misery upon non-white people, how come non-white people from all over the globe are risking life and limb on a daily basis to get here? You know, as for what these blue state urban areas like Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York are doing regarding Columbus Day, isn't it incredible how things have come full circle? They apparently want to secede from the rest of the Union, just like the city of Memphis wants to defy the rest of the state of Tennessee regarding taking down Confederate monuments. The rest of the state of Tennessee is dead set against it. Memphis and its cucked leadership, we have a white mayor, but he looks like a Pillsbury Doughboy after spending a month at the Golden Corral. he is trying his best to say that all of Memphis is in favor of taking down the statues, when it's a very small minority of activists that actually are behind this. Even in the black community, there's not a majority that wants to take them down, but our progressives like to follow Rousseau's famous quote that sometimes people must be forced to be free. You know, the difference between us and the ancestors of the current-day denizens of Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York City is that we would be more than willing to let them secede from the Union. In fact, we would roll out the red carpet if they would, so that we could preserve the remainder, the faithful remnant of America, which is red state America, plus a lot of blue state America, particularly the rural areas. They feel as we do, and it's just this, we could just excise this cancer of liberalism that exists in urban areas like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Hollywood, New York City, places like that. Of course, we know good people that live in all of those cities, and we'd be more than welcome to give them a green card to our new nation game.
Keith, you said it, brother. We'll be right back with more. Hey, Confederate monuments scored a big victory in Tennessee this week. Keith's going to tell you what happened right after these words. You don't want to miss it.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Fun game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Okay, folks, hey. Let's talk about a victory very quickly, and a victory was won this week. You know, Nathan Bedford Forrest, let me tell you something about the man. You can't beat him even in death, can you, Keith? Tell us what's going on.
Well, there's a magnificent statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest on his horse, King Philip, that has resided in Forest Park in Memphis since 1904. And it is one of the most beautiful equestrian statues I've ever seen. And I've seen, you know, equestrian statues all over Europe, in England, all through America and Canada. And I may be a homer since I'm from Memphis, where this is located, but I don't think there's a more beautiful equestrian statue anywhere than
there's not
Bedford Forrest one in Memphis.
There's now, not.
On the other hand, the social justice warriors, led by an overweight black woman named Tammy Sawyer, is leading the charge to remove Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, Forest Park, and Jefferson Davis's statue from the what used to be Confederate Park downtown. Now, there's no giving these people. There's nothing that should lead anybody to believe that by conceding to this, you're going to be buying yourself peace for more than 15 minutes. I remember when all of this started back in the 90s when they wanted to stop the University of Mississippi from playing Dixie and having a Confederate flag at their football games. And the cultural Marxist left, which, of course, basically has totally captured all of academia from Harvard University to Yoknapatawpha Junior College. You know, they own all the slots. They are the gatekeepers, and you have to regurgitate their bilge on your term papers if you want to get a passing grade. But that's where it all started. That's what they're trying to do in Tennessee. What Memphis wants is a signal to the rest of the state. That's what the rest of the state will not want, because quite frankly, the rest of the state sees Memphis as a redheaded stepchild at the family reunion, and they don't want anything that Memphis wants. They look at Memphis as an outlier, and they're correct. Well, what happened in Tennessee was after Obama was elected, the Tennesseans reacted by basically voting every Democrat possible out of office. There are no blue dog Democrats in Tennessee anymore. The only Democrats are black Democratic state assemblymen from the Memphis area. Memphis is the only major city in Tennessee that has a majority black population. And what this legislature did when the first moves were afoot to rename Confederate Park, Confederate theme parks, and to remove statues was to pass a new law that required that nothing could be done to change the status quo unless the Historical Preservation Commission, which was thereby created, voted in favor of it. Well, this removal of the Tennessee statues of Nathan Bedford Forrest and Jefferson Davis went up before the Historical Preservation Commission, and they thumped them. They sent them back. The mayor of Memphis, the white, cucked mayor of Memphis, Jim Strickland, who hopefully will have a primary opponent in his next mayoral election in Memphis, said that Memphis has never been so united on anything. Well, they didn't care a fig about that. First of all, it's a damnable lie. And secondly, it doesn't matter to the Historical Preservation Commission, which apparently takes seriously its commission, which is to preserve historical monuments. So that's what they did.
Well, that was verbal pageantry right there, Keith. So, yeah, so tell us what – there was a vote that took place yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday morning or Thursday afternoon.
Yeah,
tell us what happened.
Morning, and I saw it flash across – I was in the barber's chair at the time, and I saw it flash across the bottom of the screen on the TV. I just about jumped out of the barber's chair. I was so happy. But, you know, these are the stout-hearted men and women we need, and we need to realize that the rest of the country –
well, tell them what happened, first of all.
The rest of the country needs to take on our motto of no apology, no surrender, no retreat. Because, you know, you're going to gain nothing by trying to appease these people. They don't care whether you're well-mannered or uncouth. It's like Al Davis, the former owner of the Oakland Raiders, said, just win, baby. Well,
tell us what the Tennessee Historical Society did. What did they do? What did they vote on?
They basically told Memphis to go fly a kite. They weren't going to take them down. They didn't have authority. So now they're appealing it to a chancery court in Nashville, according to the state preservation law, historical preservation law. And hopefully they will run into a brick wall there as well. And then the people in Memphis can just stew in their juices, you know, at least these leaders. And in the meantime, I'm calling for everybody in the Memphis area to boycott every member business that's a member of the Memphis Chamber of Commerce, which fell in line with the mayor, basically oppose the mayor, and we need to be hunting out candidates to run against all members of the current city council and the mayor, since they're the ones who are spearheading this initiative. And we need to bite back. We need to show white politicians that they are just like black politicians when they sell out the interests of their natural constituency, the people that voted them into office. And make no mistake, white people voted Jim Strickland into the mayor's office. That when they do that, there's going to be a terrible price to be paid politically. They need to just retire and sit at home and clip coupons, because we're going to insist that we have politicians that represent our interests just the way that blacks, Jews, Hispanics, American Indians insist that their leaders represent their interests. And no sellouts will be tolerated, James.
Keith, I appreciate what you said, and I would add this, and I agree, of course. It's really not Memphis. I mean, it is certainly Memphis's media and Memphis's ruling elite. How the ruling elite always comes from the most cucked part of the population or the most militant black part of the population, I'll never know. But they don't represent the city of Memphis. If any of the network affiliate television news stations here in Memphis run a poll on whether or not their viewers support Forest Monument, it's like 70-80% in favor of keeping them. I mean, so the city of Memphis is in favor of keeping the monuments. Make no mistake about that. The only people against it are, as usual, the media and the elected officials, and then a few cucked out pastors. And I was very proud to see that cucked out fat boy Steve Gaines, girly man Steve Gaines, the Southern Baptist Convention president, who also is the pastor of a so-called church here in Memphis, who wrote a letter asking him to remove, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest was a better man and a better Christian than Steve Gaines by any standard of measurement. So I'm very glad to see that the State Historical Commission also told the so-called clergy of Memphis to fly a kite, at least the ones that signed that petition.
All these people, and if you you said that you're mystified by why the elite always fall in line with the leftist position, well, let me solve that mystery for you. It's because Jewish power and influence is the driving force behind all liberal change. They are the yeast that makes dough rise in liberal bread. If it were not for Jewish money and organizational skills and media control, none of these things from the civil rights movement onward would have amounted to a hill of beans.
All right, hold on right there. We got to take a break. I want to say a little bit more about this when we come back, and then we're going to talk about Puerto Rico. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Scientists say they are confused by a mysterious rise in radiation in parts of Europe, Germany, Italy, Austria, France, Switzerland. The levels of the chemical element are not life-threatening, but scientists have thus far been unable to find out where it's coming from. Speculation is that the isotopes may be coming from Russia, which may be an indication of another nuclear accident. The Russians originally attempted to cover up the incident at Chernobyl in 1986 that caused nuclear energy to be felt all over the world. The powerful nuclear aircraft carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, has left its home base in San Diego and, according to the South Korean military, is scheduled to join the USS Ronald Reagan in the area soon. The two will place two powerful American carrier strike forces in the region, clearly designed to send a strong message to the dictator of North Korea. This comes as the dictator is expected to launch yet another test of an intercontinental missile. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
State of Tennessee, even though I'm born and raised in Memphis, and I love Memphis. Memphis has a rich history. I mean, Nathan Bedford Forrest lived and died in Memphis. It's a great city. It was in the 1960s one of the most beautiful cities, routinely voted as one of the most beautiful cities in America. It's a wonderful
and
river city.
From the 20s until the 60s.
On the banks of the Mississippi, I mean, there's a rich cultural history here in Memphis. I love Memphis. It's home, but politically speaking, it's a blight on the state of Tennessee. And anyway, though, but yes, I mean, the vast majority of Memphians are in favor of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument. Make no mistake about it.
And that includes even the black citizenry. The black citizenry was 47% in favor of keeping it, 44% against for taking them down, and the remainder of them without opinion. So they don't even have a plurality of the black population. But that doesn't, don't believe your lying eyes, believe the leftist media.
That's right. Well, with the media and the city council, it's nearly unanimous if you take the media and the city council, a poll of just media outlets in the city council. And it's just the same way in Gainesville. Keith, you know, we were talking earlier in the show tonight. Richard Spencer is going to be speaking in Gainesville, Florida on Thursday. And let me tell you something. I mean, the media, the only people against Richard Spencer coming to Gainesville are the media and the faculty. I mean, Gainesville, by and large, is philosophically in tune with the alt-right. Now, Gainesville, that part of Northern Florida is nothing more, politically speaking, than an extension of Georgia and Alabama. In 2015, the biggest Confederate flag rally in the country took place in Ocala, Florida, which is just south of Gainesville, less than an hour away, north of Orlando. Ocala, Florida is in between Gainesville to the north and Orlando to the south. 5,000 people showed up for a Confederate flag motorcade in 2015. The second biggest Confederate flag rally in 2015 took place right here in Memphis, organized by none other than the political cesspool, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Those were number one and number two, Ocala, Florida, and Memphis, Tennessee, in 2015. So that part of Florida is good Southern people with traditional values, and they're not going to be against the message that Richard brings. That much I can tell you. But if you listen to the media out of Gainesville, I mean, they're spending $500,000 on security. They're closing down hospitals. They're doing all of this stuff. The president of the University of Florida is wailing and gnashing his teeth and all of this stuff the people, the media, and the elites are always at odds with the people, and that's true in Gainesville. It's true in Memphis. It's true everywhere.
Well, they're tyrants. And in the South, I've often said that liberalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. People have to parrot the liberal party line. For example, if you're a student at the University of Florida and you are majoring in something like history or English or international studies or whatever, I guarantee you your professor is a card-carrying leftist extremist, and you better give him what he wants to hear if you want to pass and move on. Otherwise, you'll get a bad grade, and that's how they justify freezing conservatives out of power. They say, well, they're not very smart. Well, they're not very smart because they're not being graded and tested on the subject matter of their particular major. What they're being tested on is how well of a Pavlovian response they've developed to liberal trigger words and whatnot. So you have to hide your light under a bushel. That's an unfortunate fact about modern life today. But on the other hand, we need to be secret agents. Our theme song ought to be Secret Agent Man by Johnny Rivers. That's what all of us have to be, and we need to You know, if you need to use a pseudonym to comment on a message board, or if you have to just talk with your friends and make sure that you are talking with a real friend before you really open up to them, that's understandable. But on the other hand, the left would like to talk people into being violent. Don't fall for that. If somebody tries to do that to you, they're probably a provocateur, an agent provocateur of the left. The dirty little secret is that our ideas and our themes and memes are very, very popular. People instinctively find them to be honest and truthful, and they're attractive to them. That's all we have to do is get the message out, and that's why there's such an iron curtain that has fallen on conservative, true conservative thought on issues like Jewish power and influence and race. You find Facebook and social media trying to keep us down, trying to keep us off the airways. You see it's incredible that we're the only radio station of our time. I mean, only radio program of our type that is really on the main broadband AM radio. That tells you that there's something afoot here, you know.
In spite of the fact that in spite of the fact
about cigars and brewing beer and all sorts of silliness like that that nobody wants to listen to, but they don't have radio shows that encounter honestly and talk candidly about race and Jewish power and influence when their people are hungering for that information, James.
Well, and that you're right, Keith. In spite of the fact that we violate no laws, we present a family-friendly program, we talk about hard issues, but we do it in a very thoughtful and sincere way. We don't seek to be insensitive or offensive or inflammatory, but we're not going to hide our candle under a bushel at the same time, and that's what this radio show is all about. And there should be more radio shows like this. Agree or disagree, there should be, in the court of public opinion, a place for shows such as ours. But as Keith mentioned, on the AM radio airwaves, we're it. And that's what, of course, makes the political cesspool so special. That's why we've been able to stand 13 years of oppression. Because we're very unique, and we serve an audience that can get this voice nowhere else.
Well, on the AM FM. Always right, James, in radio, the way it's supposed to be in the marketplace generally.
We'd be in every major market in the country instead of we would
put Rush Limbaugh in the shade, and furthermore, the radio dial would be covered with programs like ours. Exist as just internet things or on shortwave radio and stuff like that. It's almost like Radio Free Europe, if you remember those.
Well, and that, and again, childhood. That's why we're exactly, and that's why we're so unique. But yes, if you present our show and our message to the real people, and what do I mean by real people? I mean people who pay taxes, go to work for a living, fear God, take their kids to church, try to live right and walk the straight and narrow. Our show appeals to people like that. I mean, that's who our audience is, so I know. Based upon what the people want to hear, we should be in every market instead of select markets and on finer stations near you, of course. No, we should be everywhere. But we're still here. We're still struggling. We're still fighting. We're still punching, as our good friend John in England says. Keep punching. Well, we're always going to keep punching for you, John. That's for sure. But I want to say one more thing. Exactly. We think we're fighting the righteous struggle. I mean, we think we're fighting, we're the good guys. But I want to say one more thing. You know, you talk about the hate and the vitriol. It always comes from our opponents and our attackers. Breaking story right now, I'm hearing reports, speaking of Confederate monuments and Confederate sympathizers, I'm hearing reports now, Keith, that a pipe bomb was just set off in the Confederate camp at Cedar Creek, Virginia's reenactment. So there's a war between the states reenactment going on at Cedar Creek, Virginia right now, and a pipe bomb was just set off near the Confederate camp of that reenactment. So we don't have any more information than that that just came in from a loyal listener.
Again, we have it proven once again who the real perpetrators of violence are, and it's not people on the right. It's these Antifa and Black Lives Matter and New Black Lives.
And we don't know who did that. We don't have any more information than that one sentence, but we'll find out.
And I also will just about bet you a dollar to a donut hole that this Las Vegas shooter was a leftist, if he wasn't, if he was anything that could possibly be linked to the right, we would have known everything about him from on before the gun barrel cooled.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, before the bullets even stopped flying, you would have known that he had a Confederate flag. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah, the fact, well, we covered that last week. I mean, I think tonight's show is the political cesspool essential. I mean, this is really the political cesspool. This is what you tune in to hear. Now, last week we covered the Las Vegas shooting with limited information, with very little information we had. We did the best we could with a ton of talent, Sean Berg and Jim Lancia, Sam Bushman, but you know, that's not our wheelhouse. Tonight we're in our wheelhouse with Richard, with Brad, with you, Keith, with Eddie, myself, and we're rocking and rolling. But yeah, that was an interesting and still very little information about that. Go figure. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we have Scoop with us right now. I wanted to cover, we may save this for next week. I wanted to cover an article that we had posted to the website just last night about Puerto Rico. Donald Trump made some very sensible comments about Puerto Rico. Article on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, cut Puerto Rico loose Well, that's for sure. We need to do that. They're nothing but a drag. They don't offer anything to America that we don't already have a plenty, except for more diversity, and who needs more of that? So cut Puerto Rico.
Ask to be a state, and the Democrats always want them to be because they know they'll be a solidly blue state with two blue senators and all of their congressmen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't need more of that. So anyway, we need to cut them loose. They don't need any form of citizenship. They don't need to even be associated with America. But anyway, you can read our take on that. Well, not our take, but an article that we liked at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I guess you could say we agree with it. But anyway, I have been absolutely scatterbrained and haphazard tonight. We've been adding guests and shuffling the deck and Keith on in the second half, Eddie on in the first half. I mean, it's just been a topsy-turvy show. And we got Scoop, of course, Scoop's regular contribution to the show. Scoop, our Washington area correspondent, now a host of his own program, Red42.org, which is going to debut next week. Next week for sure, October the 21st, immediately after the Political Cesspool, the debut show of Red 42 will air, and we're going to post a press release about that on our website on Friday of next week. So big things coming. We've been promoting it for about a month now, maybe a little bit more, but it's finally getting down to the launch pad, and we're excited about it. And I know Scoop and Jim are going to do a great job. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Political Cesspool family. Well, earlier this week, we did it, myself and Mr. Lance. We had the intros. We had the bumper music. We had the commercials. We had the content all set up, and we did Red 42. And let me tell you something, folks. It was phenomenal. I usually don't like toot my own horn, but I couldn't believe how great it was, especially with me and Jim. It went off without a hitch. But somebody forgot to push record on the Panasonic tape recorder, so the Memorex cassette did not move. So actually what happened, it was technical difficulties beyond my comprehension. But we are going to have a show for you next week, and let me tell you, it's going to be out of this world. But back to reality. Now, the Washington Post yesterday published an article about the differences in incomes in blacks versus whites. The median income for the average white Washingtonian family, over $250,000. The average black income for a black Washingtonian family, $3,500. And instead of stating the obvious reason why, you know, whites have $250,000 better of net worth versus $3,500 worth of net worth, it's obvious. You know, schooling, drive, determination, mother or father, a good Christian upbringing, so on and so forth. But the Washington Post, you know, very apologetic, cited, you know, racial differences, past discrimination, past discriminatory practices, redlining neighborhoods, so on and so forth. So, again, that's Washington Post doing their worst as usual. Now, the reason for redlining districts, especially for food delivery, is so that the delivery people don't get robbed, don't get shot. Years ago, I lived in a section of Hampton Roads, which is not the best. I lived 1.9 miles from a food delivery service. They refused to come to my neighborhood. And guess what? I was going to give them a nice big tip. So I had to get my Chevrolet and go get some food. But that's what we're looking at so far in D.C. versus white versus black network. And then the Washington Post also cited that, well, maybe if the city put more low-income housing in the up-and-coming neighborhoods such as Columbia Heights, Nomad Gallery Debt, then things would improve. But in reality, no city wants more low-income housing in an up-and-coming neighborhood because guess what? It brings down property values, it brings down tax revenue. Now, the city is
looking for voters. You don't need that vibrancy, as they say.
Right, right. The city wants the voters. They're all going to vote Democrat, but they're going to put them in the industrial sections of town. Also, today there was a march in the 8th Ward, which is southeast D.C., or Anacostia, and they were demanding more supermarkets in the area, which is, of course, very economically diverse. But, again, who wants to come into an area where, you know, you don't have people who don't have a lot of money the likelihood of inventory going out the front and the back door is through the roof. So it's not worth it. That's why you have companies like Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, and Ben & Jerry's look very, very hard before they put up establishments in certain neighborhoods. James Keith, back to you.
Well, Scoop, you know, I appreciate your report from Washington every week, as always. Of course, we were in Washington for the inauguration, Sam Bushman and I. I remember at one point, Jared Taylor, myself, Sam Bushman, and Kurt Crosby, Sam's co-host on LibertyRoundtable.com. Great show, if you're not catching it every Monday through Friday on Liberty News Radio Network. But we were walking through downtown D.C. Scary stuff, Scoop. So you're doing the Lord's work in not in God's country. Let's just put it that way. So, Keith, a response to Scoop's report tonight.
Well, that could be the report every day from Memphis. We've got the same problem. People refuse to acknowledge the presence of the 800-pound gorilla sitting on the living room sofa, which is race. That's the reason for the problems that they have. That's the reason for the disparities. It's not all of these collateral issues that the left insists are the real culprits, because when those problems are addressed, you still have the same problems. They've been trying to narrow the achievement gap between white and black students at least since the Brown decision back in May of 1954 and beyond, before that even, and they just can't do it. They've tried to do something to shrink the IQ, median IQ gap between white and blacks in America, but that has remained a constant at 15 points ever since IQ started to be measured back in the 1920s. So, you know, the left will never give up, because if they give up and have to acknowledge the reality of racial differences, then their whole agenda goes out the window. Their black people are not doing as well for perfectly legitimate reasons, not reasons of invidious discrimination, past prejudice, or anything else. So, you know, that's just a long and short of it.
They're coming for Scoop, everybody. They're coming for him. We knew it would happen. Run, Scoop, run, buddy. Hey, Scoop, hey, final word to you, brother. Hey, red42.org, it's going to debut next week after the Political Cesspools live show. You're going to have the debut performance of Red 42. They had a little preseason action tonight, this week. Regular season starts next week, their debut show. We're looking forward to it. Again, red42.org. Scoop, final word to you. Wrap us out. Send us to the finish line tonight.
Well, folks, this might be – Red 42 might be the worst talk show in the history of mankind, but let me tell you something. We got the best bumpers in the world. Also, we have a special voiceover person. We got Mike Mushmouth Brown from the old Fat Albert series doing the voiceovers, but you can't miss it.
Well, and listen, I know it's going to be good. I'm excited for Jim and Scoop. Thankful for Sam and the Liberty News Radio Network for extending the opportunity for them to do this. So it's going to be, I won't spoil it. Read our press release on Friday that Scoop wrote. It's going to, it's already out there, but we're going to post it to thepoliticalcesspool.org on Friday, and we're going to be their biggest cheerleaders. And, of course, there's going to be some cross-collaboration occasionally. Some of the TPC hosting staff will pop on Red 42, and, of course, Red 42 is going to have their own guest and going to be their own show. It's a separate show, somewhat of a spinoff show, but still entirely a separate entity. Run exclusively by Jim and Scoop, who will still maintain their positions as TPC correspondents, even as and while they anchor their own show. So it's exciting to have a de facto fourth hour, if you will, and just more great content and another great show added to the Liberty News Radio family of programming. So, Scoop, I'm proud of you.
It's a spinoff from the Political Festival, kind of like Joni Loves Chachi was from.
Well, sometimes spinoffs are better than the original thing. I mean, you know,
that's right. we're glad to give birth to it, and onward and upward.
Scoop's been working with us for about 12 years, and that's mentioned in the press release, so couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and we wish you all the best, and we're going to do everything we can to help make it happen for you and help promote it. So, Scoop, red42.org, Yeah, what's the email address if people want a little more information in advance of the debut show next week?
I changed the email address since I didn't like the situation with Outlook and the website provider. It's going to be red42radio@gmail, red42@gmail.com. It's free. It's efficient, but it's still Google, but oh well.
All right. Well, everybody, that's it for our show tonight. It's been a busy one. On behalf of the one and only Scoop Stan, Keith, Eddie, our guest, Sam, myself, and my wife.
Good night.
Yeah, she's back in the studio tonight. Can you believe it? We'll be back next week, everybody. Stay tuned. Until then, I guess. Love you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.